Radio Daily for halfway day. We're so close to yet another weekend, and this time, what, a Father's Day weekend. So if you got your dad something cool and geeky, I'm sure you could pick up like a Bonanza lunchbox or something. I'm telling people to buy stuff for their kids, for their dads, and that's what my dad would have wanted. God, I'm old. It's ridiculous. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the 17th of June. We are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from all kinds of places. Some of you can come out and play Jackbox with us. I know we didn't... Well, we won't talk about what happened last night. That's just odd. The folks that are bringing it to you today, the man that, well, I'm just saying, you need to give him some room, because if you push him, things are going to happen. That there's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Can you give me a break? I'll break your nose!
Okay. Hey. Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a good time. I'm going for Billy Flynn.
I don't know about you, but I'm having a ball.
I'll have a couple of them. You never know. What happened, sir?
I think I need to start following Ron Perlman on Twitter.
You should.
1837, Charles Goodyear obtains his first rubber processing patent. India rubber would become sticky in the summer heat, but Goodyear resolved this problem by devising a process to treat the rubber with metallic solutions such as copper nitrate and strong acid for a few minutes before washing it with water.
Same day, same year, Joseph Lister of Glasgow, Scotland becomes the first surgeon to perform surgery under antiseptic conditions. Before that, they just did it in mud.
1885, the Statue of Liberty is delivered to New York Harbor.
1901, the College Board introduces its first standardized test, which will become the forerunner of the SAT.
1828, Amelia Earhart embarks as a passenger on a transatlantic flight from Newfoundland to Wales, becoming the first woman to fly across the Atlantic Ocean. The flight is 20 hours and 40 minutes in duration, during which Earhart assists in navigation. In 1932, she will become the first woman to cross the Atlantic Ocean alone.
1940, the first public demonstration of Phonovision, a coin-operated video jukebox developed by Sam Sachs, former head of Warner in the UK, and a Vitaphone in Brooklyn. Initially using copies of old Vitaphone short films, the Phonovision Corporation intends to shoot new short-form musical material at their former Edison Studios in the Bronx. The company claims to have received orders for 40,000 machines. And I haven't seen one on Pawn Stars? The hell?
1946, the first commercially available mobile phone is released to consumers.
1967, China tests its first hydrogen bomb, a U-235 implosion fission named 596, 2,960 meters over the Lop Nur testing grounds. It's China's first full-scale implosion weapons test, its sixth nuclear test within 32 months. Dun-dun-dun.
1970, Edwin Land patents the Polaroid camera.
1972, five White House operatives are arrested for burglaring the offices of the Democratic National Committee, an attempt by some members of the Republican Party to illegally wiretap the opposition. Because when the president does it, it's not illegal.
God, boy, good thing times have changed. 1977, Warner Brothers releases the horror film Exorcist II, The Heretic, directed by John Boorman, and starring Linda Blair, Richard Burton, Louise Fletcher, Max von Sydow, Kitty Wynn, and Paul Heinrich to 703 U.S. theaters.
Telling you now, everyone talks about what all movies are the worst ones of all time. It's Exorcist II, The Heretic. Richard Burton's sweat, though, is glorious to watch. 1980, Atari's arcade games Asteroids and Lunar Lander become the first two video games to be registered with the U.S. Copyright Office.
1983, Logical International files a trademark infringement suit against Coleco Industries, claiming prior use of the name Adam for a computer.
1985, Morelos 1, the first Mexican satellite, is launched from the Space Shuttle Discovery. It's a geostationary communications satellite manufactured by the Hughes Aircraft Corporation.
Same day, same year, Sultan Salman Al Saud becomes the first Saudi Arabian in space during the 18th mission of the Space Shuttle Discovery.
1987, the dusky seaside sparrow becomes extinct with the death of the last specimen held at Walt Disney World's Resort Discovery Islands Nature Reserve. They can't keep animals alive.
1988, Sunsoft releases Blaster Master as Chouwikose Senkai Metafight for the Nintendo Entertainment System in Japan. The game will often be cited as one of the most challenging and original games for the Nintendo console. As in the innovative The Legend of Zelda, Blaster Master allows players to revisit previous areas at will. Another notable aspect of the game is the player's ability to gain powers by defeating each level's bosses, which seem to be inspired by the game Mega Man.
1999, Digital Video Express abandons marketing its DivX pay-per-transaction DVD video scheme because it failed to obtain adequate support from studios and other retailers despite strong consumer interest in the DivX feature. Look, I knew a couple people that liked it, but who the hell was going to have a movie rental store at your own house that you had to pay to watch the movie you kept up with? And stupid pointless trivia, the first DivX title, and only available on DivX, was There's Something About Mary.
2003, the first flash mob forms in Manhattan, New York for 10 minutes, beginning at 7:27 p.m. in the home furnishing section of Macy's department store. Though the origins of the phenomena won't be documented until organizer Bill Wasik, senior editor of Harper's Magazine, publishes an article about the incident in the March 2006 edition of Harper's. Roughly 100 participants were drawn to the event by blog entries and text messages.
2006, the fantasy film Death Note is released to Japanese theaters. It's an adaptation of the popular Death Note manga series and had not been whitewashed by Hollywood.
And also, George Lucas is inducted into the Science Fiction Museum and Hall of Fame.
For telling a fantasy story? Birthdays?
Arthur Darvill's 38 from Broadchurch, Rory on Doctor Who, and Rip Hunter in Legends of Tomorrow.
Michael Showalter is 50 from The State, Wet Hot American Summer, The Underappreciated, The Baxter.
Will Forte is 50 from SNL, MacGruber, and Last Man on Earth.
And whatever that show is on Quibi, no one's watching. Jason Patrick is 54 from Lost Boys, Rush, Speed 2, The Losers.
Greg Kinnear is 57 from Mystery Men, Sabrina, As Good As It Gets, The Soup, and of course is a big fan of taking those smile pictures.
Thomas Hayden Church is 60 years of age from Wings, Ned and Stacy, Sideways, and was Sandman in the overly villainized Spider-Man 3.
John Grease is 63 from Joysticks, Fright Night 2, and of course, Uncle Rico on Napoleon Dynamite.
Mark Lynn Baker is 66 from one of my favorite films, My Favorite Year, and of course, Cousin Larry on Perfect Strangers.
Joe Piscopo, 69 from SNL, Johnny Dangerously, Dead Heat, and of course, is the Lord and Savior of the Joe Piscopalian Church.
No longer with us, born this date in 1898, M.C. Escher. An autograph from him is very valuable. Of course, it also takes up 22 pieces of paper.
He is my favorite M.C. 1904, Ralph Bellamy from Rosemary's Baby, Oh God, and Trading Places, as well as Disorderlies.
1927, Wally Wood drew for EC Comics, did the very early Daredevil comics.
1945, Art Bell. Author, broadcaster, the man who gave voice to those who believed in the incredible or incredulous. And actually, you know, I'm noticing a trend that since he's passed, conspiracy theories have become a bit more mainstream.
Right? 1947, Christopher Allport from To Live and Die in L.A., the 86 Invaders from Mars, and Hollywood would not be the same without him and the Jack Frost movies.
CBS, we've got Nicole Byer and David Ortiz on Game On and SEAL Team, as well as SWAT.
ABC, it's Wonderful World of Disney, and then Out of the Past on a new Marvels, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Reruns of the Chai Tri with your Magifiers and your PIDs.
Fox has got a rerun of MasterChef, but a new Ultimate Tag.
CW Octavia learns about a whole new world. Murphy plays Make Believe with Imori on the new 100 and the new Bulletproof.
Freeform, the Twilight Saga, New Moon. Actually, the New Moon is on Sunday, so they're showing this on the wrong day.
AMC has Man on Fire.
BET, it's a new Tyler Perry's The Oval, which is about the White House. Get your minds out.
FX has Sing.
FXX has Pacific Rim Uprising.
Not a terrible sequel, but nowhere near as good as the original. No. FXM has Love, Simon.
IFC, nothing but good times as the Parks and Rec marathon continues.
Paramount has Fuzzbear.
That's such a solidly good movie. I cannot believe that became the cartoon that it did. It's weird. Sci-Fi Channel is showing Captain America Civil War, which should have been an Avengers film.
It kind of was. TCM has the 1932 Johnny Westmuller Tarzan the Ape Man.
It kind of was, which is why it should have been and not a Captain America. TBS has got a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
TNT has London Has Fallen.
True TV, it's a new At Home with Amy Sedaris.
Science Channel has Underground Mega Highway New Building on Giants or New Building Giants or Giant Building News.
Building Giants. But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a true crime author and her husband visit her family's mansion on an island. She's going to investigate an unsolved murder of a woman who's the subject of her next book, but she believes she may be the next victim as she unravels the truth. Anna Hopkins and Christopher Jacquot star in Is There a Killer in My Family?
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. EJ wakes Chad up late at night so they can watch the end of this big exciting baseball game. But because they were up so late, Chad fails a test the next day, and Mr. Abe will not let him retake it. To try to get his do-over, Chad comes up with an overly elaborate scheme. And EJ gets nervous because he tried that with Mr. Sterling last week and ended up on the X list. He decides to leave and is so glad when he gets home at last. Hashtag Chabby forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Well, no, there isn't, because everyone is just so busy right now with all that is going on, because everyone in the world is like meeting up with Zoom meetings and everyone's twitching and twatching and all kinds of just, it's insane in the membrane, and pop goes the weasel because the weasel goes pop. For those of you that get that reference, by all means, drop us a note. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or why don't you perform it for us by dialing in with some voicemail, because you could text it, but it won't have the same effect. Just use the magic number.
510-GRD-CREW.
And really, enjoy the easy Chad and Abby's now, because in 6 months, I'm going to do something just horrifyingly cruel.
This is Phil Collinson. You're listening to Radio Free Scaro.
Anyone who might listen to this in the UK,
you will guffaw with amazement.
Yeah, it looks like you need a Piers Winger in here. That's a load-bearing winger.
I feel the impact of Torchwood.
When we had such hope for the character, thinking, oh, wow, look at Adric, he's great. I'm sure he's starting off a little shaky here, but he'll come around. We've riled them up.
Do we need all these singing type things for a bunch of nerds?
Pardon me, Pedantor.
That's me, Pedantor of the gutter.
There's the typical Burgess modesty we've all come to know and loathe.
This show has always been about warts and all, by God, and we'll keep doing it.
It's up on RadioFreeScaro.com. Hooray!
Hi, this is Sherilyn Fenn, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a delight. Well, I would say something else, but... you know, she can hear me right now.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Indeed, comics have returned, and we can read all kinds of stuff today. Like what, sir?
From Detective Comics, we have Question, The Deaths of Vic Sage, 3 of 4, Strange Adventures, 2 of 12, Wonder Woman, Deader, 3 of 4, and Get Ready for the Earth-Shattering Encore. When the Earth is enveloped by the dark multiverse, the Justice League is at the mercy of the Batman Who Laughs. Humanity struggles to survive in a hellish landscape twisted beyond recognition, while Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman have all been separated and fight to survive. Unleash the beast and let the headbanging begin in Dark Knight's Death Metal, 1 of 6.
A prelude of which is available for free on Instagram, and you know that because you saw it on our Facebook page. Over at Marvel, Conan, The Book of Thoth, and other stories. All these are trade paperbacks. They're not doing regular comics. You got Daredevil by Chip Zdarsky. It's Volume 3 through Hell. Dawn of X, Volume 5. But The Age of Star Wars, an epic series of adventures uniting your favorite characters from all eras, reaches the iconic heroes and villains of the original trilogy. Witness the moments that define them, the incredible battles that shape them, and their eternal conflict between light and darkness. Solo stories spotlight major figures from Star Wars episodes 4 through 6, from Luke, Leia, Han, Lando, Yoda, and more. And on the dark side, Darth Vader is joined by Boba Fett, Jabba the Hutt, Grand Moff Tarkin, and the cold, calculating bounty hunter known as IG-88, who's one hell of a babysitter. Star Wars Age of Rebellion, hardcover.
Dynamite Entertainment brings us Death to the Army of Darkness, number 3. George R. R. Martin's A Clash of Kings, number 4. And Vampirella, Red Sonja, number 8. From Boom Studios, they've got Firefly, number 16. Power Rangers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, wrapping up with 5 of 5. And Magical Heritage is punishable by death in Pipetown. So a young boy named Wind must keep his true identity and pointy ears a secret from everyone, even if it means he'll never have the normal life he wants. But when his secret is threatened, Wind will be forced to leave his home behind to embark on a dangerous quest that will put him at the heart of a royal conspiracy beyond his imagination. Now on the run with Oakley, his best friend, Thorn, the boy of his dreams, and Yorick, a literal prince, Wind will have to embrace the magic within himself if he wants to save them from the shocking dangers that await in Wind, with a Y, number 1.
From IDW Publishing, Crow Lethe, number 2 of 3. Dying is Easy wraps up its 5. G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, number 272. Over at Archie, Veronica New Blood wraps up her 4. Oni Press, Kaiju Max, season 5, number 3. But Zim's robot servant, Gurr, ventures into the wide world to assist his master with his most diabolical scheme yet. But no one counted on Gurr's distractibility, or time travelers, or weird hybrid lab animals who need rescuing, which is all in a day's work for Gurr. But what was he actually supposed to be doing again? Find out in Invader Zim Quarterly, number 1.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. If you are a Star Wars fan, you are used to dealing with a bag of mixed emotions, and You know, we got that reveal trailer for the newest Star Wars Squadrons games, which has to rock.
Yeah, but I'm getting too old to keep up with that kind of action, man.
Then we got the expected but sucks nonetheless news that Star Wars Celebration's been canceled. But wait, there is another.
Another Star Wars Celebration?
No, I'm sorry. I meant there's more Star Wars news. It seems Lucasfilm and Disney Plus, allegedly, are going all in, making sure that subscribers can constantly have Star Wars content. The plan is supposed to be, starting mid-2021, to have a Star Wars show releasing every quarter.
Tag and Bink, give us Tag and Bink, you criffing Ichuta lordos!
Seems the plan is to have a universe where all the shows will be connected with the central storyline. It's Star Wars, it kind of should. One big inspiration for this is Game of Thrones. The idea is that instead of one Game of Thrones show, it'll be like each family had their own show with a central storyline that spills over into each other.
Game of Thrones? Well, Luke and Leia were the original Jaime and Cersei.
That's a good point. So I'm looking forward to seeing R2-D2 as Tyrion, Chewie as Christopher, and in a move that would give us all sleepless nights, Nihilus as Ramsay Bolton.
Watchmen, Children's Hospital, and Medical Police star Malin Ackerman will executive produce With Teeth, a vampire horror film that is set to premiere at 2020 Cannes Film Festival.
With gums doesn't sound nearly as scary.
She will produce With Teeth, but star alongside Z Nation's Lydia Hurst, Us's Kara Hayward, and Ackerman's husband actor Jack Donnelly. Director K. Asher Levin will helm the vampire film, which he co-wrote with Zach Imbrogno.
You know, Zach's a nice guy, but he has a tendency to confuse or get embroiled, maybe a little muddled.
Etymology. Nice. With Teeth follows a famous online gamer and an old-school vampire hunter who must save a group of famous internet influencers after they become trapped in the lair of a horrifyingly evil vampire.
Wait, is the gamer the hunter? Because bonus points if we see them play Castlevania.
I'm thrilled to be producing this film, Ackerman stated. The script written and to be directed by my friend Asher Levin is a daring new take on the vampire genre, with themes relevant to the times we're living in.
Vampires are scheduled for July?
Coupled with the amazing cast we're putting together, I'm excited to help bring Asher's vision to life. Now look, I personally can't wait for the sequel about a rival pro esports vampire who only play on their Microsoft Xbox.
A new game designed to treat some ADHD symptoms in kids ages 8 to 12 has been officially approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, which means anyone that wants to attempt treating children with the game will need to get a prescription first.
That just means these kids will turn to the streets for their gaming needs, like some real bad dudes.
This marks not only the first time the organization has approved the use of digital therapy for the treatment of ADHD, but it marks the first time the agency has ever authorized marketing of a game-based therapy for any condition.
Dr. Angelo developed it with the help of the kid who cuts his grass. Hey, kid, have fun with Mrs. Angelo.
The game called Endeavor RX uses a combination of sensory and motor challenges to help the player improve cognitive functioning.
Well, this is why I have brain age.
This is interesting. It could certainly help. But please, please note that the game is based on a study by doctors who were on the developer's payroll. What school did Dr. Mario graduate from?
Did his Aunt Becky get him in? With loads of people all over the world still in situations like working from home or having their local gyms closed, Nintendo has released a new first-party fitness game for the Nintendo Switch that anyone can play right now for free.
Whoa, free game? Time to jump for joy!
Well, you're gonna have to. The game is called Jump Rope Challenge and uses the Joy-Cons as virtual skipping rope handles. That's it. You skip, a little counter goes up, and if you're feeling lonely or competitive, a second player can join in on the same screen as well.
Tell me it's got a soundtrack with House of Pain, Van Halen, or at least Criss Cross.
If you aren't able to jump, for health or courtesy reasons, Nintendo says players can bend their knees or move their arms to play the game without creating any noise.
I've been to a gym. People are always going to grunt. Okay, but then again, your downstairs neighbors will thank you.
Jump Rope Challenge is available right now, but oddly enough, it is marked as a limited time release until the end of September. So if you want it, you should get it now. If only for the cute Bruna-esque bunnies the game has.
Which are so much nicer than Frank the Bunny. Just remember, everybody, like anything, moderation. If you play too long, it's going to cause people who care about you to start to worry. If you jump for a ridiculous amount of time, someone you love is going to have to come up and talk to you.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. You could cut ties with all those lies that you've been living in. And if you do not want to see me again, I would understand.
Comic book writer Jerry Conway created the Punisher, a new bad guy for Spider-Man to fight way back in 1974.
Hey, cops! Bad guy!
The character was a Vietnam veteran whose family was murdered, and he subsequently goes insane and turns into a crazed vigilante, killing all lawbreakers regardless of what law they break.
The Punisher versus Jaywalkers was as odd of a storyline as Travolta's hairline was in the movie.
Sadly, the Punisher symbol has been appropriated by a handful of America's police officers.
Let me fix that for you. Appropriated by a handful of people who completely missed the point of the character who'd lost faith in the justice system because it was corrupt.
This has been going on for a while, and last year, Jerry Conway told Sci-Fi Wire what he thought of the practice. It's disturbing whenever I see authority figures embracing Punisher iconography because the Punisher represents a failure of the justice system. Hey, he said you're right. He's supposed to indict the collapse of social moral authority and the reality that some people can't depend on institutions like the police or the military to act in a just and capable way.
Yeah, but it makes me feel like a badass, bro. And I hurt the people I'm charged to protect. It's called a dichotomy, bruh.
The vigilante anti-hero is fundamentally a critique of the justice system, an example of social failure. So when cops put Punisher skulls on their cars, or members of the military wear Punisher skull patches, they're basically siding with an enemy of the system. They're embracing an outlaw mentality. Whether you think the Punisher is justified or not, whether you admire his code of ethics, he's an outlaw and a criminal. Police should not be embracing a criminal as their symbol.
Well, it is a mixed message.
Conway decided to do something about it, and earlier this month he tweeted, I'm looking for young comic book artists of color who'd like to participate in a small fundraising project for #BLM to reclaim the Punisher skull as a symbol of justice rather than lawless police oppression. Respond and follow so we can DM. And the responses came in almost immediately, and days later, Conway had set up a BLM, Skulls for Justice.
And the outrage some had was delicious.
Each t-shirt design is its own mini fundraising campaign that runs until June 30th, and 100% of proceeds go to Black Lives Matter. Conway thanked those who contributed. You've raised almost $50,000 for #BlackLivesMatter since Tuesday with our Skulls for Justice project, and today we have three more shirts for your collection by incredible young artists. Please check them out. You guys are awesome.
And as soon as folks march with that, well, the cops in question will call them names.
So cops, as much as you might enjoy Diabolique, he is still the bad guy. If you want to be serious in law enforcement, you got to pick yourself some admirable cops, like T.J. Hooker or Joe Friday. Just don't go out there with an arsenal trying to be a comedian or a joker. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license, and I hope you've read enough comics to get that. Make sure you check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
I just don't get how they don't understand.
Right? I mean,
irony and satire is not dead. It's just,
you know, Gordon Ramsay and Guy Fieri and all of them don't have, like, you know, pictures of Dahmer up, you know? I'm just saying. They don't have Hannibal Lecter. They don't go around with Hannibal Lecter making fava beans and shit. It doesn't work. I'm going to breathe. Hey, look around.
Guy Fieri does.
That's fair. Look around tonight. I believe Mark's hosting another Jackbox party. Everyone interested, keep an eye out. And yes, Mark, that means you're slightly famous, but stop watching Pornhub. Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com or send us a note to the magical numbers.
510-GRD Crew.
We'll see ya.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
Well, folks, I am out of here.
Do you think there are funny people and not funny people?
Yes, definitely. On the funny side, there are the Marx Brothers, except Zeppo, the Rich Brothers, no exceptions, both Laurel and Hardy, and Woody Woodpecker. On the unfunny side, there is anybody who has ever played the accordion professionally.
What the fuck?